You're listening to The Matt and Pat Show.
I'm Pat. He's Matt. And together, we're The Matt and Pat Show.
Welcome to The Matt and Pat Show. How are you, Pat?
I am doing tremendously very well.
We had some fun this past weekend, huh?
I had lots of fun.
You had fun with
as
the camera.
As a photographer.
Holy smokes.
I was a professional photographer for several hours.
We had our press passes on, and we were at the Long Beach Comic Expo.
I wore mine proudly.
Down in Long Beach.
And it was interesting, as I walked through, people were looking at the badge.
Yes, the press badge.
Yes, and some even were looking at the shirt.
Yes, that's true. We were wearing our Matt and Pat shirts.
And we didn't get to interview as many people as I had hoped.
Well, for a couple of reasons. Number one, the expo is just a one-day, you know, event, and it focuses more on the comic books and the artists as opposed to the big con sort of, you know, scenario, the 2 to 3 day con stuff.
Their logo, the palm trees.
Mm-hmm, yeah, it's very nice. You're not going to get as many people at the expo, but it's still a good thing.
I bet my prediction for next year is that it will be even larger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, this was my second year at the expo. And it was a little bit larger this year than it was last year. Because last year they didn't have, I don't think they had as many rooms open, you know, the big area where inside.
Yes.
I think they had some more space open
when
this year.
I was talking to the security guards, and I took his picture, obviously, and he mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
He said, oh, this year is much larger.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was also, we kind of discussed about the future of the con, and he felt as well that next year they'll probably open up some other areas.
Yeah, yeah.
To grow it.
Yeah. Well, I also want to say thank you to Martha for helping us out with our press badges. That was really, really cool. I did the Media Blitz stuff with her last year at the con for 501st stuff. And so she helped us
That's
out with the press badges.
And that is a lot.
Oh, it is a lot of work. Are you kidding me? Yeah.
Her. And to ask her how she decided to come up with this.
Yeah, well, at the con, I think that will be a great thing. You know, like I said, that's the big 3 day thing, and she does all the big media stuff at the con. So, I'm gonna have to contact her and set up a time where we can do an interview with her.
I can't believe it's already Friday.
Yeah, really, boy, was it hot earlier this week? Holy smokes!
That's just me.
Yeah, that was you.
And we had Mother's Day.
We had Mother's Day.
And last show, how horrible that we didn't mention a happy Mother's Day. Right? What type of sons are we? Happy Mother's Day.
Happy belated Mother's Day to everyone.
To all mothers out there.
Yes, yes.
Because your job is one in which is completely thankless.
Completely thankless and full of love.
And full of diapers and
yes,
runny noses and, you know, nicked up knees and
all kinds of stuff.
Countless hours of lack of sleep.
This is going to be the Mother's Day special.
It is. I drink my chamomile tea, which Matt so kindly prepared for me.
Yes, I made you some tea this morning.
So I salute all mothers everywhere.
There you go.
My chamomile tea.
It's your Happy Friday tea.
Isn't that a great gift? Happy Mother's Day. I drink tea, too.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so we had some fun down at the con. We interviewed actually quite a few people.
And a lot of mothers were there.
Yeah, there was a lot of people there. The Southern California Garrison was down and had the awesome Star Wars Death Star set there.
The backdrop.
That was really cool.
How do you build that?
Yeah, well, it takes some skill.
I couldn't do that.
Yeah, it takes some skill.
I can't even draw a pirate very well.
And when you do, a girl crumples it up.
Oh, man. But the backdrop was very...
Yeah.
Well, it's the real deal in terms of the molding.
Yeah, yeah. No,
right?
That was spot on. So
film specific.
Yeah.
To spec.
Yeah. Well, that's what the 501st are all about. So that was really cool.
That's going to go in someone's man cave.
And you surprised me.
I did?
Yeah.
That's because I didn't have any garlic chili.
No.
I was trying to be very respectful because I was going to be around many different people.
Thank you. And I'm sure half the con appreciates that as well.
Little do they know.
Little do they know.
That's my mutant ability.
But
garlic
we,
chili.
No, it's, you know... You know, doing the show together, you and I both share certain responsibilities. You know, I work more on the technical stuff on the show, you know, setting all this equipment up and recording it and getting it into the computer and editing it throughout the week.
You're like the mother of the show.
Well, and you deal with the contacts for the people.
I'm not the father. I'm more like the uncle.
And the guests and things like that. But no, so I decided this was the first time we've gone out and done something, you know, remotely recorded. And I said, I'm going to take my big digital camera with me, my Canon Rebel. You know, up to this point, we've taken pictures
We didn't bring it when we went to WonderCon.
No, that's what I'm saying. This is the first time. And so I typically take pictures with, you know, my iPhone, or I've got the point and shoot. You know, it's easy, whatever. I'm like, no, you know what? You know, I know the Death Star set's going to be there. I want to get some really cool photos. I want them to be really, really high res. So I brought the Rebel down. And I realized early on, I'm like, you know what? You know, I'm going to dress up in the morning for a little bit, do the photo thing with the 501st and stuff like that, and it'd be cool to get some pictures. And so I said, hey, Pat, you know, here's my camera. You know, you turn it on, you press the button, it's all auto, just go for it. And 5 minutes later, you disappeared.
I did.
You were gone. I'm like, where's Pat? Tink, tink, tink. And I'm like, dude, he's gone. And someone's like, oh, he went in to, like, take some pictures. I'm like, okay. So then you came back, and then the rest of the day, and we weren't there all day, the rest of the day that I looked at you, all I saw was cha-ching, cha-ching,
oh,
cha-ching, cha-ching.
I had a blast with it.
Oh, my God. You were like a kid in a candy store.
$1,000 candy bar.
Yeah, exactly. No, that was really awesome, though. So I thought, again, here's another example of, okay, I'm doing certain things. I'm doing the Tascam. I'm holding it. And you know, you're doing interview stuff or whatever. But at the same time, you're going to be our official photographer, I think. So, you know, that's really cool.
Say cheese.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Say don't listen.
You did. Say that's,
don't listen.
That's what you have to do.
Yes.
When we're posing for photos or whatever, you're like, say don't listen. Don't listen.
But it was a really enjoyable, fun experience.
No,
walking around, you
had fun.
And different photos of people.
And you talked with Gabriel about the hat and the boot stuff you can get to finish up your costume.
For my outfit.
Yeah, for your Imperial Bridge crewman.
And then I can join in the charity.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we have to mention about the charity stuff.
Yes.
Last week we forgot to mention it.
Yes.
And that's so.
Yeah.
Man, mothers are sad. And,
well, but at the same time, we have mentioned the last two previous shows. So it's not like we just totally forgot.
The mothers forgot about the charity stuff.
Well,
okay, so here we go.
Well, we had fun talking about WoW last week.
Well, do you want to do the Course of the Force or do you want me to do it?
No, go for
it. Okay. All right. So our dear friend Mark, who's unfortunately listening, he is going to do...
Hey, Mark, if you're listening, then you have to send me a text and say, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There. I'm going to prove if Mark's listening or not.
And if DDF is listening, he has to send a text.
It says 6, 7, 8, 9.
And do LOLOL what?
No.
LOLOL what?
See, now I want to say what you told me off mic, but now I can't.
Yeah, it's
because
a story about DDF. I told this story about you, DDF.
Okay,
repeat on. No, we can't repeat.
No, I won't.
You won't even remember.
I won't repeat the story, but repeat the guy's name.
Oh, Marcello.
I can't wait, Dave.
Marcello.
I want Dave to hear this and go.
Wherever you are, Marcello, I toast you with my chamomile tea.
Yes.
Oh, I miss Marcello. I have to drink my chamomile tea.
Love Dave.
Marcello.
Okay.
Oh, all right. So back to Mark.
To the charity
stuff. I love how we just go all over the universe.
Back to the charity stuff.
All right. So Mark is going to be in his stormtrooper outfit, and he's going to be running. He will be running for charity, and all the proceeds are going to Make-A-Wish Foundation. And he did this last year, and there's a video I have on my PeenPax.com, and he has it on his webpage as well of him running. It's really cool in a stormtrooper outfit. He's not even wearing like proper shoes. It's stormtrooper shoes.
He just sent me a text.
Did he?
Yeah.
Was it 1, 2, 3, 4?
No. He actually sent it to a group message of some of us Legion members, and he said, "Happy Tuesday, you fruit boats."
Oh, well, you know, fruit boats. Okay. And so his goal is to raise $150. So if you're able to donate whatever funds you're able to, go to his webpage, www.tk7328.com. And in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see a little link or a little button, if you will. It says Return of the Course of the Force. So you can click that, and that will take you to where you can donate your money. I'm going to donate when I get my Apple dividends, whenever it is. Next week? Whenever it is.
Yeah, I sent him some money.
As well.
I sent him some money.
So that's... And the other thing...
Man, that air conditioning is loud.
It is. Well, it's hot.
It's still hot, yeah.
It is. So
we have the AC on, so if you hear them.
Just pretend that's the sound of our Lear jet. And we're recording as we're flying across to Italy to see Marcello. Because he's Italian. And we have listeners in Italy.
Yes, many.
Oh, I have never been to Italy. I want to go to Italy.
Let's go.
I would love to go to Italy.
Let's go to Italy.
Hello, Italian ladies.
Yes. Pat's waving to you.
I am.
Okay, next one.
Okay, next one is
next charity we're plugging here.
Our friend Shad.
Shad me Shad.
And I just saw him last, well, let's see. I saw him Monday night.
Yes.
We had our men's group.
Last Monday.
And we had a really good meeting. We had a good time. Anyway, so Shad me Shad, he runs the National Veterans Foundation, and they're doing a special fundraiser for Memorial Day, because that's the big day to help memorialize those who have served our country. And so they're also looking for donations to help the veterans that are coming back, that have to deal with coming back into society and looking for work and just all of that stuff. So if you're able to donate for them, you can go to their webpage, which is nvf.org. And where you make a donation, there's a little area, and you can just put, like, hey, it came from the Matt and Pat show. That way they know that you're listening. And for any vets out there that are listening, if you need any assistance or help in any regard, you can call their phone number, which is 888-877-443. And you can talk to one of their veteran counselors and whatnot.
Awesome.
So we got mothers covered. We got our charities covered, and I can throw these. I won't throw. I'll lightly, gently put it over there.
Unlike last week, where
I'm
done.
I was done. I was
water lemon.
I was fine last week.
Water lemon.
I'm gonna have to. Well, that's gonna be the help tips for. I'm gonna have to reread those.
I can't get over that. That's funny.
Water. I just have chamomile tea. That's a health tip for today. Just drink tea.
Yeah, just drink tea.
Made with love. Love. Remember that show, Love American Style?
No.
Love American Style. And then they'd have, like, the fireworks going off. And, like, you don't remember that? Love American Style. And
I did not watch that.
It was a show, you know, where I bet a lot of individuals were conceived while watching that program. Because, you know, spring's in the air.
There you go.
Marcello.
Yeah.
Wherever you are.
I love the fact you're talking about fireworks and Marcello. Yeah. That's awesome, dude.
It's all about the love.
Should we...
take a break?
Should we take a break real quick? And
well, I want to listen to some cool break music that you have.
Some, like...
The music you...
Yeah, I put into the break.
Not like rap break music.
Oh, okay. I was like break dance
although
or something.
Some, could you see me break dance? The other day, well, it was actually Mother's Day, I went over to a friend's house, and we were in the backyard, and we were in this little picnicky thing.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting in the chair, and I'm like, dude, my mass of weight, I got to lose. Because I'm now like 4 inches into the grass. The chair sunk down so much. I'm like, oh, good Lord.
Awesome, dude.
Love American Style.
Well, let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with the interviews from
more tea.
The Long Beach Comic Expo.
Yeah.
Awesome. Welcome back.
On a Friday.
So the first place we stopped by at the Long Beach Comic Expo was the USS Navarus booth.
And I bought a patch.
You bought a patch and
a cool little...
Did you buy the challenge coin?
Yes, I did.
You bought one of the challenge coins. That was awesome. So the USS Navris is a Star Trek charity group that was founded by Cody Glenn, who is the captain.
From Texas.
And they're based out of Texas and started around 2010. And essentially they're just doing the same thing we do in the 501st, is go out there and do all these kind of cool Star Trek events. Cons and different charity events, but for Star Trek versus us Star Wars. And we had interviewed Patrick.
At
WonderCon, who is the leader for the California contingent.
Correct. And he was there as well.
He was there with everyone. Him and Nathan were there.
Yes.
It was cool. And now Cody's group has teamed up with Houston Huddleston, which we also interviewed at WonderCon, who is doing the Save the Star Trek bridge.
And the chair that I couldn't quite
fit
in.
That's right. That you couldn't fit in the chair.
That's sad. Captain! There's a gravitational force that's affecting the ship. Oh, that's just me.
That's just me.
Okay.
So we spoke with Cody. Let's take a listen.
Okay, we're here with Cody Glenn, who is the... What's your position?
I am the captain of the USS Navris.
And you're based out of...
We're based out of Greenville, Texas, but we have members everywhere.
Including California.
California, New York, Pennsylvania, Florida, Oklahoma. The list keeps growing.
Tell us how you got involved with the organization.
To be perfectly honest with you, it started from sitting down playing an MMO, Trek Online.
Oh, okay.
We started playing Star Trek Online, and suddenly I went, you know what? Let's do something different, something that's, you know, a little bit bigger than a normal guild. And they said, okay, well, what did you have in mind? Started researching options and said, you know what, let's do this. So now we're trying to basically become the 501st Legion of Star Trek.
And how long ago was that?
Oh, we started that, I want to say 2010, early 2010. We've sprung up real fast.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. In fact, we've talked with Patrick from the California contingent at WonderCon, and that's pretty brand new as well. So, yeah, I would say, yeah, you guys are coming up really quick. Now, what kind of charities have you done so far?
So far, we have done the USO, we have done Children's Miracle Network, we have done Money for Autism Awareness. The list just keeps growing. It's getting bigger every day. We've done Habitat for Humanity. We've got a huge list. It just keeps getting bigger.
And how can people find out about the organization and then join in?
We're on Facebook at facebook.com/USSNavris. You can find us on Twitter at USS Navris, NAVRAS. And then our website is USSNavris.com.
And you guys are now tied in with the Star Trek Restore the Bridge project with Houston.
We are. We're doing a lot of work together. Houston Huddleston actually became a member. We inducted him in as a member of the USS Navris. We're sharing a table with him this weekend at the convention. But, yeah, we're doing a lot of things with Houston, with the Enterprise Restoration Project. Fun times.
Excellent, excellent.
Last question. Where do you see it going?
Space. Final frontier. That's the final frontier.
That's it.
Excellent.
Awesome. Thank you, Cody.
Thank you.
All right, that was a cool interview with Cody. And I love his wife, man, because she dresses
up. She was all dressed up.
She's got the alien, the blue alien.
It was like turquoise.
That was awesome. She always does that.
And she had the cool little
antenna ear things. Yeah. And what's also cool is she walks around. She's got an iPad, and she's got an app on there that totally gives her the LCARS, kind of like, you know, tick, 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 tick. Like she's scanning things and all kinds of cool stuff. So that's very cool. That's a pretty awesome use of technology. And that's interesting because Houston had mentioned that with us when we had spoken to him at WonderCon, was he was talking about, you know, hey, in, you know, 87 when they started making, you know, the Star Trek Enterprise bridge, you know, I mean, it's all – I mean, they're pretending to do touch screens. And
now it's a reality.
And now it's a reality. And so now they're incorporating that kind of, you know, technology into this actual, this restoration of the bridge.
Where's my green lady?
So Cody also mentioned that they're gonna create a little set where he's gonna create kind of like a holodeck arch, and they're gonna have a slot where like
are they have Obi-Wan on there as like a that would be kind of cool little crossover.
Oh, okay, I guess I don't
know or Princess Leia. Right?
Well, I have no idea. But
kind of fun.
But he said he was going to build that and create a slot where they can put the iPads in there and have the technical stuff going on within the arch. I said, what you should do
they
is
could
you
do a hologram with Tupac.
I said you should create the arch and then you put like a kind of like a black curtain on one side, and so that's why when people like go through the curtain, there's the holodeck experience, whatever it is, or
be like
whatever.
Cello.
It's kind of cool.
Tupac.
Yeah, that was fun. So the next person we spoke to was an awesome guy. I love this guy. Gabe Smith, who is got his comic out right now. It's called Human. And he's created this. He's, written it. And I think he said it was self-published.
Yes.
Kind of a cyberpunk sort of story.
You know what I didn't ask him, but I wanted to at the time, was if he, did he read a lot of cyberpunk literature? For example, back in the day when I was in school, there was Neuromancer.
Mm-hmm.
That was by William, what is his name? William Gibson?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm remembering his name. But that was kind of the advent of the cyberpunk literature.
Mm-hmm.
And if you will, kind of the movement really came to the forefront. So I wanted to ask him that question. I failed to do so.
Well, we'll have to interview Gabe again. He was really cool because we gave him one of our stickers and he stuck it on the front of his table area, and then he wrote "interviewed by" and
yes,
put an arrow pointing to it.
I made sure to take a picture of it.
You took a picture of it, yeah. So we'll have to put that on the website. Well, let's listen to Gabe's interview. Gabe Smith, Human Comics.
We're here at the Long Beach Con, and we just met Gabe, and it looks like he's doing a comic. So tell us about your endeavor.
Well, it's good to meet you, Matt and Pat. My comic is called Human. It's a cyberpunk story. And it was just actually picked up for distribution by Diamond recently. So it'll be in all the stores in June. It's a story that takes place a couple hundred years in the future. People are getting biomechanical upgrades and genetic engineering jobs done on their bodies and performed on themselves. And it's illegal, so the government's tracking these people down, taking away their weaponry. And the story revolves around this one bounty huntress named Cesra who's doing the same thing, tracking down these criminals and bringing them to justice. So that's the basic premise behind the story, and you can expect to see it at your local comic shop at the end of June.
And how did you get involved in this particular type of genre?
Oh, man, I write a lot of different types of genres. This one, had been calling to me for a while. I just had this story in my mind for a long time, something that was been stuck in my brain for years, and I finally got it out and, got it and just self-published.
And what initially brought you into deciding to make comics?
Just again, like having that nagging feeling of a story, the unfinished in your mind.
Okay, what are you working on something right now, like a different story or a different character as well?
Absolutely. I have another series in the works right now, and this is an ongoing series, so I'm still, continuing with Human as well.
And where can we find you in terms of a webpage?
Go to humancomics.com and you'll be able to find me. My name is Gabe Smith.
Excellent. Awesome. Well, thank you, Gabe. Thanks for talking with us, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, so while you didn't directly ask him about Neuromancer,
I wanted to take it further.
You want
to go more in
than
depth.
Just asking him about the genre?
Yes. Well, yeah.
I like the fact that
Love American Style.
That he said it's all about the government take away your weaponry.
Where have I heard about that before?
that was funny, man. So Gabe was really cool, and he's not too far away. He's down in Venice Beach.
We're going to hang out.
So we got to go down to – and we've talked about going down to the beach. And also Tony does his band stuff down there.
I'm
going to
ask if maybe my friend Bunny can go with us.
Yeah.
Because she can pass out stuff.
Yeah, there you go. And then you'll want me to take pictures.
No,
because you'll be hanging with her all day.
I'll take the pictures.
Should I get a longer lens?
Yes. need that. There's one right that one of my friends bought.
Yeah,
and it's so high def,
high powered. The optics
you use
in it
to photograph insects and whatnot.
Ah,
right?
yeah.
And so
like a macro probably,
yes,
or whatever.
You could get one of those, and
yeah,
I'll take
go.
Pictures of.
You'll be taking pictures
Smile.
Of things a lot bigger than an insect.
Love, American Style.
That's awesome. So next, we stopped by the booth of Blue and Siren, And we'd parked next to them in the parking structure.
Yes.
So that's where we first saw them.
Correct.
And they were getting dressed in a little cosplay stuff.
Yes.
And getting all their wares ready to go. And then we came across them on the floor. And you're like, oh, hey, there's the girls we parked next to. And I'm like,
okay. Neighbors. Hello,
yeah.
Neighbors.
Yeah. So we stopped by.
They're making buttons.
They were working on buttons and different things like that. So they were working on their stuff. And let's take a listen.
So when we arrived at the con this morning, and we parked next to some individuals that looked like they're having a lot of fun trying to put, you know, their costumes on, and it made me laugh and happy. And so I thought, oh, we're going to have to find them and do an interview. And sure enough, here they are before us. And it's Blue and Siren. So how did you get involved in making art and comic cool stuff that I see before me?
Basically, most of our friends were doing it. Most of our online friends started doing cons, so we started doing them together. Basically, just like, oh, everyone else is doing it, let's go ahead and do that.
It's just a big black hole of mistakes. Yeah, that led us to here.
So many mistakes.
There's a lot of mistakes. There's a lot of regrets.
What's your biggest regret?
Starting to draw.
Did your family support you in this endeavor?
Surprisingly, yeah, they're pretty okay with it.
They're pretty indifferent to me.
Yeah,
which might actually work in your favor,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, in case I ever wanted to quit, then they're just like, okay, go ahead.
All right.
Now tell us about your style. How would you describe your style of art and kind of your approach for the listeners?
My art is pretty cartoony, I guess. I just kind of like to draw fan art of stuff in a cartoony sort of style. I really like making merchandise because I love merchandise.
Well, I guess mine is more like the cutesy, like kind of like really simplified cartoon stuff. And I also really like making merchandise because I think like half the official stuff are really ugly.
Yeah, so we really like making cute, like, classy merchandise that you may not be embarrassed to wear in public because, like, if it's a nice design, even if it's nerdy, you'll be like, oh, yeah, just totally wearing it out in public.
And what are you working on? You're making buttons?
I am slaving all buttons, yes. Yeah. They're not even my buttons. They're my buttons.
And how long have you guys known one another? Because obviously a long time, I take it.
4 or 5 years?
2013 right now.
Yes, it is 2013
yeah,
right
about
now.
5 years.
And how
yeah.
did you guys all meet or connect?
They are friends from middle school, and we met on the internet.
Yeah, we met on the internet.
And we realized we lived in the same place.
And Art as well, back there?
She's our helper.
No, I just get the perks of not being an artist, having artists around.
So she's the slave then, huh?
She's back there slaving away.
Yeah, she is.
Oh, awesome. Oh my God.
And do you have a website or where people can go to find your stuff online?
Mostly we use Tumblr.
Okay.
To post our art. I have a couple of like online stores that I sell my merchandise online to people who can't make it to cons.
And where can people find that at?
I have a store at society6.com/MrBlueSky, and that's my main one right now. I've closed the other one because I'm so busy with comp prep.
And then you can find me mostly at LadyLaga on Tumblr.com.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, very
awesome.
Fun.
Well, thanks for talking with us. Wow, they were creeped out by you, Pat.
They weren't.
Yeah, they were there like,
no.
Don't talk to me.
No, they were just working hard on their buttons.
Working hard on their stuff. And so then we didn't do an interview with them, but we saw Geeky Mamas.
Yes.
They were there. Very cool.
I love Geeky Mamas.
Rebecca wasn't there, but that's okay. And her Elstrada wasn't there, but we spoke with the other people working
there
the booth there.
There were two that we spoke with.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
Very super cool. Nice.
Yeah, and you took a picture with them. Or of them.
Yes.
And so we'll have to put that up on the webpage. It's always good to see
yeah.
them.
I like Geeky Mama. We're going to have to go to their store.
In the Cerritos Mall.
Yes.
Yeah, very cool. That was very awesome. Okay, so tell me what attracted you about the next booth we interviewed.
The huge tracts of land.
The mountainous landscape.
Love American style.
So we stopped by and we spoke to a couple awesome guys, the Ewan twins.
They're my type of dudes.
Yeah, and it's funny, they look like Mark. It's so funny.
Yeah, our buddy Mark.
Yeah.
They could be related.
Yeah, it was really, really awesome. So one does the art.
And the other does the story.
Other does the story stuff
the
like
captions
that.
Captions and whatnot.
And they actually had a bunch of little freebies they gave us, and they signed for us.
Yeah, I asked for their signatures.
Yeah,
and they did.
Do some really cool stuff. So we spoke with them. Let's take a listen.
Yes.
We're back, and we're actually just down the way, and I happen to see what looks like a really hot cover. That's what caught my eye. So I came over here just for, like, you know, it sells. I won't even tell you what sells, but it sells itself, right?
I think everyone will know.
Yes. And so I have before me
John Ewan and Matthew Ewan.
And you guys are twins?
That is correct.
Wow. Okay. Well, back up. How, like, tell me about that.
Okay. Well, we operate under the Ewan twins. We publish a comic book, Declan and Chang, and the individual you were talking about earlier, the really hot character that sells, is a genetically modified assassin named Jersey Devil.
I'm in love with her.
And she kicks our main characters, Elvis and Billy Dee, around for about 10 pages, even though she has no weapons, is barehanded, bare almost everything.
She doesn't need any weapons.
No, she does not. And despite the fact that they're built like, you know, the Terminator, they get their butts whipped, but good.
Wow. And, okay, so you guys are a team together, and you're drawing. So do you do the illustrations and you come up with the story, or how does this work?
That is exactly how it works. Matt writes the entire thing. He outlined it, got the script together, and then he's like, here's panel layout, and then I ignore it, and I draw as many panels as I want. It works out great.
How long have you guys been doing this?
We've been doing this since last October, so about half a year, about 7 months.
Oh, wow, so new. What instigated you guys to kind of jump into the fray and come up with this?
It's been a long time in coming. We've been drawing and writing for, you know, many, many years. And our friend said, you should do a comic book. And 12 years later, we're like, okay.
Wow.
And so there's 3 issues so far, I take it? Mm-hmm. And then are there going to be more?
Yes. Right now we have 6 issues written, completely planned out. The rest of the series will continue throughout this year. But then after that, we have another 6-issue story arc planned already.
Wow, that's cool.
What's been the most fun about working together as brothers?
Honestly, I think the most fun has been, like, kind of the I'm going to say business aspect, you know, but not, I don't mean, like, the commercial. I mean, like, actually interacting with, like, fans and customers. Mm-hmm. Because it's so cool to see, you know, you try to pitch it as we sit there and say, hey, you like 80s action movies. Because that's the kind of feel we're going for. And, like, whether or not the people are really enthusiastic about it, or they're kind of like, I like, you know, 90s romance comedies about it. It's a great way of interacting with the public, and it's really cool to just see how diverse the whole comic-consuming public is.
Wow, that's very cool.
I dig it.
That's really cool. And if people want to find out more about the comic, where can they go online?
We have a Facebook page. It's just Declan and Chang, Sweet FA, all one word, on Facebook. And it is also available at Cool Cats Comics and Cards in West LA.
Awesome. Thank you for talking with us.
We're back.
Hey, we're back.
And it's a lovely Friday.
Yes.
And I'm drinking my tea.
You and twins.
And I love their art. I love it.
I know you do.
You know what I'm going to have to ask them? If they can make a much larger
version
of one of their particular characters.
The one that caught your eye?
That caught my eye.
That caught your eye.
Oh, I'm whistling, man. On that one.
Yeah, there you go.
Wolf whistle.
Well, let's take a quick break. So later on in the day, we walked around a bit, and we came across an awesome guy named Mark Rivers. And Mark plays D&D, which is awesome. So
that was probably why I connected with him just when I saw his stuff. I was like, it looked D&D-ish.
Yeah, it looked D&D-ish, right.
It looked H.P. Lovecraft-ish.
Uh-huh, yes.
And I thought, oh,
yeah,
this is kind of interesting.
Yeah, no, he had some really cool stuff. I liked how he had the the old kind of quasi-parchment.
I threw my card down.
He threw the card down.
I wish I could draw. I know people say, well, you can, just do it. You know, it's just a genetic gift.
Yes, I agree.
You draw very well.
I can draw.
I've seen some, like, your cool little dragons.
Yes, uh-huh. That kind of stuff I can do really well.
I dig that.
Yeah.
Do stick figures.
So Mark does comics illustrations, fantasy stuff, web design, very cool. And he's local as well. And
to get him to play D&D.
And he does an assortment of different stuff, like you said, based on, you know, who he's actually, you know, just the type of...
He had the kind of the Godzilla Japanese,
right, and he had
monster comic.
And more kid-based stuff as well. And then he also had the, like, the...
kind of scary...
the scary dragon stuff.
Cthulhu-ish.
Yeah.
H.P. Lovecraft, like, don't even... I'm going to give you that. The comic he gave, to me, because it's so scary.
Oh yeah,
it's too scary.
Oh yeah, I'll have to read it. That'd be great.
It's just like images of scary demons.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like praying my rosary as I flip the pages. Like, you know,
I'll totally read it.
All right.
So let's take a listen to the interview with Mark Rivers.
Groovy.
Okay, we're here with Mark Rivers. Hi, Mark. Thanks for talking with us.
How you doing? Thank you.
So, your art looks very distinct and very different from what I've seen so far today, and it looks like very much like a Cthulhu monster.
Yeah.
If I have my monsters correct.
Right. Yeah. These are the Skrulls. They're Lovecraft characters. So.
Did you? I guess it's going to be a lame question, but I take it you've read all the all of those novels.
I'm in the process. I have a few of them. I've read many by Lovecraft himself, but you know the mythos are very expansive. They have all these other authors that have written, you know, expanded upon it and stuff like that. So there's always something else to find, which is really nice.
And how would you describe your style? Because it looks cool.
Very cool.
I try to have something for everyone. So the Skrulls and then this particular comic here you'll notice is done in a very,
very
kind of detailed, yeah, horrific kind of style. And then I have these other things here that are more PG rated. So
yeah, that's true. This reminds me of kind of like the font is kind of Diablo-ish, right?
Right.
You know, very much.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's very cool. That's what that caught my eye.
But I have a website, which the comic is called Freaks, Mutants, and Monsters. So that's where this comic comes from. And I draw these little creatures and stuff, post them every other couple days. So that's where this comic came from, right? And then the Skrulls, of course, just something I made on a whim, and everybody liked them. They liked this style, so I did this comic here in that style because people, you know, demanded it.
What?
And this one is more of a kind of like a field guide to demons, sort of, you know. So that's pretty much a story there.
I don't want to meet any of them. They look cool on paper. I don't want to meet a single one of them.
I would not want to run into any of these people in a dark alley either.
What attracted you to this particular style? How did you come about this style?
I think probably Mad Magazine was the big influence on me more than... Yeah, I mean, because, you know, when I was a kid, I used to read comics all the time, and I actually have, like, an abnormal amount of comic books for somebody my age, but anyway,
We have a friend who's got two rooms full of boxes sealing the floor, so...
I just had to move recently, and... Wow, I got way too many.
I know you're paying because I carried all of Dave's
You
comics.
Carried all the boxes.
He didn't do any of that.
Yeah.
But more than anything, I'd say probably Mad Magazine and like fantasy artists like Frank Frazetta and stuff like that.
So if people want to find more about your comic series, where can they go online?
I have a few, if you don't mind me plugging.
Go for it.
The first one is freakmutantmonster.blogspot.com. Right, and that's where the comics are from. And then I have a webcomic at hawanja.com, which is hawanja.com.
Cool.
And that's going to be my next project is going to be that. And then there's those two, and you can find pretty much everything about me there. And got I think some
this one is akin to, say, Godzilla?
Yeah, yeah. That one is a joint book between me and a friend of mine. And
that's very cool.
So we kind of share. We're going to make another one of those, too. So.
That's awesome. Well, Mark, thank you for talking with us.
What a pleasure.
So who did we stop by and see next?
Next was Olga, I believe.
Yes.
And I love her little business card.
Oh, these are great. It's
like a little rectangle.
It's
business
card. Really tiny one, and it's got her website on it, and then she's got the QR code on it as well. That's very awesome. I'll have to scan that and see if it comes off. So
it looks like a butterfly to me.
You bought some stuff from her.
I did.
You bought a couple of the bigger piece that was really awesome looking.
And a little
and the little card.
Little card of looked like an Asian girl who was playing a flute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
It almost looked like a holy card to me. That's probably kind of why I liked it.
Yeah, and you had a good little conversation with her during the interview. I don't think I asked her anything. I don't remember off the...
I hogged the interview. I hogged it.
So she was really, really nice. And let's
talented.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, she's got... And just... The incredible story of her just getting over, you know, the parents weren't supportive of it, and she said, no, I'm going to do this.
The determination. I think it's really the notion of the passion comes forth,
mm-hmm.
because that's really what you want to do.
Mm-hmm. And it was interesting because that was one thing she had said during the interview was, if you really want to do something, you just go after it. And it's like, hey, kind of like us with our radio show, right? It's like, hey, let's just do a show. And then it kind of led one thing to another. And, you know, here we are every week, you know, just talking about all these kind of cool stuff and just going after it, right?
And you say that, and I have this look of, like, the thousand-yard stare as you say that.
And for just looking for into the distance or just like, what
just
the hell
like,
are
oh
we...
Oh, my gosh, what are we doing?
you got one of those Mythbusters. Yeah. What the hell are we doing moments?
I don't know. It's like Indiana Jones. I'm just making up as I go.
Exactly.
I'm going to have some tea.
Well, let's listen to Olga's interview.
We're here with Olga. And how do you pronounce your last name?
It's Ulanova.
Oh, wow. And what nationality?
I am Russian. I was born and bred in Russia. Actually, in the USSR, extinct, country.
What part?
I was born in Kazakhstan, and then we lived in Siberia for a while. So
wow.
I am literally from the middle of nowhere.
And how did you arrive here?
My parents decided to immigrate. You know, they wanted the American dream, and so...
And you're living it.
And I am.
And you're So, okay, tell us about your dream of doing art. Because I purchased, listeners can't see this, but I'm going to hold it up for listeners anyway, because it's so cool.
We'll take a picture of it.
Yeah. So tell us about how you got into this art.
Well, I think like a lot of artists, I've always been drawing since I was little, and I wanted to pursue it like as a degree in college and as a career. But unfortunately, my parents were not extremely supportive in the beginning, so they wanted me to do something else. So it was a bit of a struggle, like overcoming that obstacle. But once I decided like, no, I'm going to do this. It's just, it fell into place, it's really strange how life works sometimes. It's like once you set your mind on something, doors open for you,
Yes.
And I committed myself. I started working really hard. I started studying, anatomy, studying gesture, all the skills you need to be a good artist, And it just so happened that a friend of mine works in the animation industry, and he told me about storyboarding. Before that, I had no idea what that even was. Like, I'm like, storyboarding? What is that about, But he told me about it. It sounded really cool. I came to LA. I took a class. And next thing you know, I'm working at WB. So it was a bit magical. I can't complain, So it worked out really nice.
And tell us about your style. How would you describe it?
I am very happy I found animation because I tend to gravitate towards simpler forms anyway. I like simpler renditions of the figure and the background. It's like, to me, it's like the, if there's not a lot of information in the image, but it still conveys like the feeling you wanted to convey, like that's amazing. Like I love simple artwork, So I'm always trying to simplify my own stuff, but make it dynamic and exciting at the same time. Which is a good challenge. Like, I'm really, I'm up for that challenge. So I'm influenced a lot by older work. Art Nouveau is my favorite kind of style. I also really like Art Deco and animation. Like, animation is just, like, so good, It's really expressive.
And what made you decide to take the plunge and actually sell your work?
I've always wanted to do it, you know, it's like, because I've been to a few conventions, and I'm like, this looks like fun.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
Yeah, and I have, you know, I have, I was with friends at a table, you know, helping them out, but then I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna try and do one on my own, you know, and it's been really good, you know. Plus, I love, like, meeting fans of the shows, and I love complaining about, like, why they canceled the favorite show, you know.
Oh, awesome. We know that well, yes.
yeah. And it's just, you know, because, like, in animation, you pretty much work, like, with your crew, like, you don't see the impact your work has on the public, you know, on the viewers.
Right.
So a chance to actually meet the viewers.
Right.
And see them face to face. And see them excited, like, that makes it, like, so worthwhile, you know. Like, I did my first table at the Long Beach Comic Con in November, and I was so recharged after that, you know. It's just like meeting the fans, it's like, oh, this is what, like, all the long hours are for, you know. This is what we're working so hard for, so it's great.
Very cool. And where can our listeners find your work? Is it online?
I have an online presence. I have my own website. It is east-27.com, or you can find me on DeviantArt and Tumblr. And it's just olgaulanova.dnr.com. So.
I love it.
Awesome.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for talking with us.
Everybody's so talented.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they really are. Everybody that we spoke to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They really have that gift.
Awesome, awesome people.
A gift I do not have.
Whether it's writing or illustration or, you know.
I have the gift of babbling comics about or nothing in particular.
Well, that's why we do a radio show and we don't draw.
We should have someone sit here and draw out, if you will, as we're rambling on about nothing in particular, what type of image that would look like after an hour of us talking.
It would be this right here. Blank page.
Like my tabula rasa.
Because people don't listen.
It's a tabula rasa. It's a blank tablet.
No one's listening, Pat. So next.
Well, they are in the Congo.
Well, yes, that's true.
And Italy.
No, we have over 100 countries listening
to
our show right now.
Where Marcello is probably
so.
There. He's yes. back in Italy.
There you go. You have to send Marcello
a
message.
I want to go to Italy so bad.
Hey, you got to listen to our show, because now we're talking about him and Dave.
I would love to go to Italy. We have to go to Italy.
Well, when we, you know, when we maybe in the next year. I mean, we're coming up on our one-year anniversary.
Can you believe that?
In probably, 2 weeks? 2 weeks we'll be doing the show
time,
a year.
As they say, flies.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's interesting because we didn't start this show out with any intent or purpose. We just
there is no intent or purpose whatsoever.
Just to sit and talk.
It was just
and
let's just hang
and
out.
We weren't even doing it a weekly show. We just here or there whenever you just come over or whatever.
Hang out,
and we just say, oh, let's just record while we're doing it, and you know, here we are almost a year later, doing this show every week.
And in all truthfulness,
going to cons
and all truthfulness,
press badges,
really having
and
a blast.
Oh, it's awesome! It's awesome.
So, where else can I go on a Friday and hang out with a buddy and drink tea and talk about nothing in particular?
That's
my type of life.
I was going to say there's a few places you can go if you want to hang out and drink something, but. No, that's
drink
true.
Drink some lager.
Yeah.
Drink some mead.
Mead. Oh, so while we're thinking about it.
We're
going
to go.
We're going to the Ren Fair next week.
Yes.
With Mark.
Yes.
And
I'm ready to Ren.
And I'm going to have to show you how to use a Tascam because I think after a couple drinks of mead, I might be kind of.
Maybe Mark can take care of that because I'm going to be taking pictures.
Oh, you're going to be taking pictures. That's right. Yeah.
So he won't even do pictures. Even though he's a better photographer than I am. I'll do the pictures. He can do the Tascam, and he could just be blitzed
on
mead.
I can do it as long as you just have the button says it's red, it's lit, you know?
Just press it.
That's funny. So after Olga, we stopped by the 501st booth, and we spoke with Scott Allen, who is my commanding officer.
He was wearing a kilt.
And he was doing part of the Kilted Brigade, which is something new for us.
Women
no.
find it incredibly sexy.
Yeah, but the problem is they're going to find the kilt sexy, and then when you see my bare-ass white legs, you're going to be like, oh, hell no.
Well, but here's the deal, though. In Scotland...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, in that region of the world...
No, I know it. I know.
Everyone's super pale.
Of course.
So you're actually
but
probably
I'm not Scott-
tanner.
I'm not Scottish.
You're probably more tan. Is that a word, tanner? No. You're
more
probably
tan.
More tan.
Yeah.
Tanner.
No, not
you
that.
You are more tan than the individuals in
not
UK.
Down there, buddy. Not on the legs. Nope. No way.
You could use that little orange spray-on color.
Yo, God. You know, I tried copper tone 1 year, long time ago.
What, spray-on? Did you spray it on?
Yeah, I think it was a spray or something like that. I don't remember. Or it was a lotion or whatever like
it's
that.
It's all orange?
No, yeah. So I tried it. So I'm rubbing it on my
bunch of carrots.
Rubbing it on my arms or whatever like this.
Do you drink carrot
juice? Hang on, let me finish my story.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So I'm rubbing it all on my arms, and then, you know, it says wait like 10 to 15 minutes or whatever and then wash it off or something like that. I don't remember now. That was way back in a different life. And washed it off or whatever it was you're supposed to do. And then my arms looked exactly the same. And I'm looking at with my hands, palms down. I'm looking at it just going, well, that didn't work. And then I turned my hands over and my palms are orange. I had orange palms.
What were you doing?
Well, I was rubbing it on.
Orange palms.
You know. And yeah, not a red palm.
Marcello.
So that was the first and last time I ever tried that. And now, just because I drive around all the time,
I'm the farmer tan.
I'm just naturally got the tan.
It's the farmer tan.
Yeah. So,
do you drink carrot juice, going back to that question?
No.
I like carrot juice.
I drink other juice that I like, you know.
I like pineapple juice.
Next week, I'm gonna juice for you.
Okay.
I'm going to juice for you.
That's cool.
I made you tea this week. I'll juice for you next week.
All right. I'm down with that. Let's do it.
So we stopped by the 501st booth, spoke with Scott Allen, who's wearing the kilt, and let's listen to his interview.
We had a fun interview.
Okay, we're here with the commanding officer of the Southern California Garrison of the 501st, Scott Allen. How are you, Scott?
I'm excellent. How are you guys?
Very good. And you're wearing your special regalia of Scotland, I see.
That's right. It's Irish, man. It's my Irish kilt, I'm telling you.
Now, where did you get that?
You know, I was out drinking late one night, and I found myself in a store that sold men's skirts, also known as kilts. And I decided it looked pretty cool. So I said, you know what? I'm wearing this, and people are going to dig it. And guess what?
I dig it.
See?
It's diggable.
So I was right, right?
It is. I've been to Ireland. I've been to Scotland. It's the real deal.
Yep, that's what I say. Now, you know, it was something that I just decided, like, I've seen the kilted troopers walking around, you know, and I thought, how fun would it be to kind of dress up official looking in a kilt and walk around with some kilted troopers? So, you know, here I am.
Now, how many are in the kilt troop?
You know, there's about 70 members, is my understanding, in the Kilted Troopers Brigade. 71 now.
Is there like a special patch or logo?
Apparently, come on, it's a flask, dude.
That's the one I'm going to join. Yeah. The other costumes on hold.
Yeah, they're all awesome. All awesome. But yeah, Kilted Troopers, a lot of fun. I'm enjoying just having a little fun with it. So,
and how did you get involved in the 501st in this whole grand scheme of things? How did you get involved in it?
Well, you know, on a serious note, I mean, I started with the 501st about 5 years ago. I found out about them. I put together a Darth Vader costume, which is my absolute favorite to wear to events. You know, I see kids' faces when I show up as Darth Vader, and they freak out. And their parents do, too, which is even better. And so, you know, when we show up in these costumes and we do all the charity fundraising events that we do, there's absolutely nothing better that I can think of as an adult male, that's right, I'm proud, to wear these costumes and do charity fundraising with the 501st.
What do you want of your legacy? What do you want your legacy to be in terms of this organization?
You mean aside from the kilt?
Yes.
Yeah. I. you know what? I want the Legion. I want the Legion to be known. I want people to be able to say, "Oh yeah, the 501st Legion," and know that that's one of the top charity fundraising organizations in the world. That's what I want.
And how can someone who's listening, and they see the good work that's done, how can they become a member?
You you know, go to our boards, go to 501st.com or SouthernCaliforniaGarrison.com, check out the links there. You have to be 18 years or older and, you know, be able to afford a kit. They're not costumes you go buy in a store. All of our members make costumes to fit themselves that look, you know, exceptionally cool Imperial bad guy costumes. And you put it together, you join our group, and you come and hang out and do a lot of great fundraising.
And you've spoken about the Darth Vader outfit, costume. What are your others? I bet you have many.
I've narrowed them down. I do have a Darth Vader. I did at one point have a Stormtrooper and a Episode 3 clone. I've since then had to narrow those down to a combined sort of Star Wars Old Republic trooper that I put together for E3 about 3 years ago. I have an Imperial Knight who's technically a bad guy, although it has the word Imperial in it, so I'm still fighting over that because I think it should be a bad guy costume. And recently I have acquired an awesome Chewbacca, a General Dodonna, and I'm working on perhaps the Grand Moff Tarkin.
What brought you into the Star Wars film and kind of world to begin with? Was it from childhood?
I'm one of those that's fortunate or unfortunate, depending on how you look at it, I guess, but fortunate enough to have seen the original Star Wars in 77 on the screen. And I was old enough to remember it very well. And I was fascinated. It was the best film ever. And I still have that memory. There's been 100 other films that are awesome since then, but that one had the biggest effect on me at that time in my life. And, you know, I actually was quite the Trekkie and, like, you know, superhero fan. And when I found out about the 501st and the dressing up and the costumes, and as professionally as they do, that's what kind of got me into it, pulled me in. So,
What does your family think?
Well, I could show you photos of me running around in a Superman costume, jumping through doorways as a young child of 18. and they're like, it's par for the course. Yeah.
And so for today's, what brings you the most joy in today's adventure and being out here? What has made you the happiest today so far?
Well, today is awesome because we have some great people hanging out with us. We've got my friends Steven Stanton, Rick Fitz, Michael Gregory, their managers Dutch and Kathy, TC Carson from the Clone Wars. Steven is from the Clone Wars. You know, so we've got some honorary members that are out here. We did a screening of the fan film Pink 5 in the final chapter.
And what's that about?
Go to pink5.com. If you haven't seen it, it's one of the funniest little fan films I think I've ever seen. Trey Stokes, the writer, producer, director, just finished the final episode, and we're screening it right now to get audience reaction. And it's a hoot. Every time I see it, I laugh. Amy Earhart, who stars as Stacy, was here. So it's a day about sort of hanging out with them, hanging out with all my pals in the Legion, just having a great time at the con and experiencing all the fun that these comic cons
wearing the kilt.
And wearing the kilt, man. You can't go to a con without
a kilt.
So
you can see now why Scott is
awesome. Well, thank you for talking with us, Scott.
You know, he will, you know, when things need to be serious, he'll be serious.
Well, that's what you want in someone that takes on a leadership role.
No, definitely. But at the same time, he's always got a quick whip about him. You know, he's always got a joke ready to go, or, you know, just
I can't tell a joke to save my immortal soul.
He's a funny guy.
At the men's group, I got there early and sit down and having coffee and. And
I don't know if you'd want to tell jokes at a men's group, though.
It's all men's. Right. Men's.
Hi, I got a joke for you.
And, you know, so they tell, like, kind of the body funny jokes, right?
Okay.
So they tell this one joke, but I don't find it funny. It's not my, they tell it, and they're waiting for that, like, me to laugh,
uh-huh.
That reaction of, like, and I'm stone-faced. I felt bad.
Oh, man.
I can't fake it.
Yeah, no. You're like, I'm sorry, it just doesn't.
No.
Well, some jokes aren't going to hit people a certain way.
No.
So, finally, and now, this is the final interview.
Oh, who is it?
Down there.
I'm like, who is it? And we did it. Like, who is this?
Down there at the con, as he's done before, Trey Stokes, who has been the guy who created the whole Pink 5 series.
Oh,
was
that's
there.
Right.
He was doing a screening.
How could I forget?
He was doing a screening and of Pink 5 down there, and I stood in for a little bit, part of the Star Wars stuff, and you were taking pictures in there a couple bit. And so later on, we got him to do a signature for us. I've got it there up on the shelf to Matt and Pat. It was very cool. He's a nice guy. And so we thought, hey, do you want to do an interview real quick? And we're like, oh, yeah, okay, cool. So we started the interview, and this is what happened.
All right, we're here with Trey Stokes, who makes the awesome Pink 5 Saga series. How are you, Trey?
I'm recovering nicely, thank you very much.
Now today you've been doing the screening here at the con, and you also screened it at WonderCon.
All Con.
So what's been the public reaction to Pink 5?
It's been very good so far. We're very happy to see, very happy that people are laughing at it when they're supposed to and not laughing when they're not supposed to, which is mostly good. This is a luxury that we haven't had with the other episodes, because the other episodes we just made them and put them online, and you really never know how they're going over. People say they like them, so that's good. But it's so much more interesting with a live audience, because you really find out, what's working.
You get that feedback.
That was such an utterly quick interview.
That was the shortest interview.
That was probably the best interview provided our listeners.
In the life
because
of Matt and
so
Pat.
Quick.
Because, it would have been quick if we were the ones talking. It would have been good. So I'm sitting there holding the Tascam, and we're recording, and we're talking with Trey Stokes, and boop, card full. Oops. So we filled up the space on the card.
That's the way the cookie crumbles.
And that was the end.
That was it.
Our day was finished.
That was it.
I did not expect, and we did WonderCon, and we didn't run out amount of space. So I'll have to check and see.
It was probably very close.
Yeah, I probably was.
Well, the saga will continue, though.
Well, the other thing too is I also record in the highest quality. And, oh, yes,
the show's
there you go.
Not the highest quality.
The audio level is, huh?
The audio level, the audio recording, the pictures, right, via this camera that costs more than my car, all, super groove-o-matic awesome, and the actual show is what it is.
What it is. Well, let's take a quick break. So that was our Long Beach Comic Expo extravaganza, as we've said in the past.
I want to take more pictures.
And, you're going to get a chance. We're going to the Renaissance Fair this weekend.
Oh, and imagine the individuals wearing very lovely outfits.
Oh, yes. I'll make sure the card is formatted and ready to go.
And bring extras.
And I'll have extra cards, as we've learned. So we've got some. I just didn't think we would fill it up. But we got a lot of good interviews there with people. So,
I still haven't gotten my shoes yet.
Plenty more to come.
I need to get my clogs.
You mean Crocs?
Crocs,
yeah.
My crods.
You got crods. I'm going to walk around in a crowd with Mike Crun. My crods with Crun. There you go. So, so that's our show. Thanks for listening, everybody.
It's hard. It seems like we didn't really do much this time.
Well, you got to remember that when we do cons, we're doing more work. We're doing more show because we're doing the interviews.
I realize that.
Yeah.
But it just seems like it's very...
Well, it is, because we're basically just commenting on this stuff, and there you go, right? Oh, my God.
Love American style.
All right. Well, that's our show. That's our Long Beach Comic Expo extravaganza.
Recording.
Done right now.
Okay.
And you're done.
I want more.
You want more?
I want more.
The listeners don't.
Yeah, the listeners are like, dude.
Well, everyone, have a great weekend.
Have a safe weekend.
And enjoy the weather. Hopefully it's good for you. It's much better for us.
Garlic pizza.
Garlic pizza, yeah.
And a Caesar salad.
And don't go to a con then.
And a nice Pinto Noir.
Yes. I want to just say thanks real quick to Olga, to Blue and Siren, to Scott Allen, to Gabe Smith, to the Ewan Twins, and
especially the Ewan Twins because
Rivers.
They do beautiful art.
Yes, yes.
Oh, I love their art. Actually, I love all their art.
Thank you, everyone, for talking to us at the con. That was awesome of you. And catch us next week. We'll have
we'll be back.
We'll be back next week.
Next week.
And we'll have our, probably, that will be our Renaissance special. No,
yes.
Actually, we're going to do it before. We're going to record before the Renaissance. I don't know, whatever. We'll figure it out.
That's all good.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
Yeah. We love you.